welcoming back to the show the voice of Hidden From History and HiddenNoLonger.com. You can find the evidence of the genocide into Canada, and he's representing the International Tribunal of the Crimes in Church and State, and he's on an international book tour, and joining us on the line, the Reverend Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for being back on the show. And I just wanted to ask you, well, actually, where are you calling in from now?
From London, England. I've just been in Denmark and a few other countries, and I'm back here touring the country and telling to everyone's amazement about, you know, the reality of thousands of Indian children dying across Canada. So people here are quite alarmed and are very much wanting to do something about it.
For real, for real. And what was going on when the show or when your call dropped off last week? You were actually mentioning your thoughts on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, you were mentioning how the annual day that you have every year had some effect on the apology. Now, and this is coming up in April. I guess, do you mind going into that story?
Sure. Since 2005, in Vancouver, a whole group of us began rallying outside churches on April 15th. We called it the Aboriginal Holocaust Memorial Day, and that's the day that we remembered all these children who died in residential schools run by the Catholic and Protestant churches. And as a result of that, and even more bold actions, we even started occupying churches during Sunday services and that, in a very nonviolent way, you know, talking to parishioners and that, but it really began to have an impact. And the thing that really clinched it was there was a member of parliament called Gary Morasty from Saskatchewan who saw our film Unrepentant and heard about our doing these actions on April 15th. And soon after that, he stood up in parliament in 2007 and asked a question about when these children's bodies are going to be given a proper burial. Within a couple of weeks, the TRC was announced. The government said they were going to look into these missing kids, although they've never done anything about that in the 4 years since. And, you know, they felt they had to respond in some way. So that definitely was a result of that public pressure we were raising. But in the wake of that, there's been an enormous miscarriage of justice, and that's the only thing you can call it. When the government and churches that are the criminals in this story set up an investigation into themselves, they appoint the commissioners. They don't allow those commissioners to take evidence that names or talks about crimes. They don't allow the people to sue the churches that are caused these deaths. I mean, the entire thing is an enormous whitewash, and that's a polite word for it. It's part of this ongoing cover-up, I believe, of these crimes that these parties are responsible for.
Right, and one thing that you mentioned that you wanted to talk a bit about this week was what's the response been to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and your thoughts on the idea that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings were not going to be allowed, or they were ordered off the territory of the Squamish Nation. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, very funny development. When the TRC announced on March 1st to 3rd they were going to hold a conference in Vancouver where they were going to plan a museum on the residential schools. Well, of course, this whitewashed body that's planning a so-called museum, they're not going to get very far with looking into the real truth. And they also are meeting on the land of the very hereditary chief who was not invited to their event. I mean, this was a gala kind of conference, $500 registration. You know, I'm sure your average residential school survivor couldn't afford, you know, a dollar, let alone $500, to get into this. But they went ahead and held it anyway. And in response, Chief Capilano of the Squamish Nation sent them a letter. And he said, you know, you never asked my permission to come here. You didn't even have the courtesy to invite me to this, so I'm telling you to get off my land. Now, Capilano is the hereditary chief of the Squamish. His grandfather was thrown out of the longhouse around 1920 by the Catholic Church and the RCMP. And another family that were loyal Catholics were put in as the chief. So Capilano is still the hereditary elder, and he actually, this eviction notice went out to the Catholic and Anglican United Churches 3 years ago. He filed it in the BC Supreme Court, and he said all of the territory that was his family's traditionally, which is all of Vancouver, he's telling these churches to get off, and now he's done the same thing to the TRC. He didn't just rest on the announcement, though. He went down to the TRC gathering with a number of supporters, and we have this on film. It's up on YouTube. And he actually went and delivered a common law lien. So what he said was, he said, since you people are ignoring my eviction order, you're in a state of illegal trespass, and I'm putting a lien on your account. So what he's done is he's filed a lien in the courts, which, you know, a commercial lien, just to explain to people, is if you are treated unjustly by people and they don't, you can't resolve it through the courts, you can simply put a lien on their property and their money so that they can't actually do any financial transactions. So what Capilano's strategy is, and he's working with common law lawyers around the world on this, he says that these churches should not be allowed to function economically, nor should the government, since they were committed crimes against humanity, and now they're continuing to operate as if, you know, they're above the law. So it's a very interesting development. In fact, when we hold our tribunal in September, we're going to be considering this and considering what legal sanctions can be brought against these churches and the Canadian government for committing these crimes, covering them up, and then you know, ignoring the wishes of Indigenous leaders right in Canada.
Right, and that's why I'm glad that you're doing the work that you've been doing and getting the word out and, you know, researching all this stuff that's been hidden from history. And you can check out Kevin Annett's work online on hiddenfromhistory.org, and you'll find links there to, you know, to other work and to his movie Unrepentant. And I wanted to ask you about one of your latest articles, or one of the latest articles I saw, that was written by you, was speaking about a man named John Molloy, and it was other reflections on Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission as well. Who is this John Molloy, and why did you write this article?
Well, I'll tell you, John Molloy is a university professor at Trent University in Peterborough. And, you know, for about 20 years he's written fairly mild books about the residential schools, where, like all the other mainstream academics in Canada, they kind of skirt around the edges of the issue, and they never really describe the residential schools as a act of genocide. It's always, you know, the standard establishment line is that these were good intentions gone wrong, that this was a genuine attempt to give education to Indians, and that, you know, there were some bad things that happened within it, rather than what it was, which was an attempt to wipe out a people under the guise of religion and education. And I had a few run-ins with John Molloy. I actually spoke at Trent University, and he showed up and you know, disputed what I was saying. And you know, even though he himself, in his book A National Crime, quoted my statistics that Peter Bryce, a doctor in Indian Affairs, reported that half the children were dying year after year in these schools from rampant diseases that had been deliberately introduced. And so while on the one hand he's quoting the information I'm bringing out, he's attacking me personally and very much acting like, you know, kind of the government arm. As a matter of fact, he was the official scholar for the Royal Commission on Aboriginal People in 1997. So, you know, he's kind of like the government scholar on all this. And he's made such outrageous comments as, even though many of these children died, it wasn't intentional. It was just because of underfunding. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like asking yourself, how can thousands of children be dying over decades and none of the conditions causing the deaths ever be fixed, and yet pretend that that's somehow accidental and not intentional? You know, so anyway, I think that Molloy, who helped set up the TRC, and he's their consultant, and he's going on, you know, with this whole fraudulent line that isn't supported by the evidence. I mean, the reason I write about him is because that's the voice you're hearing in the press. That's the view white Canadians have of themselves, that, you know, they didn't really try to wipe out Indians. And, you know, it doesn't jive with a lot of the statistics and the evidence. So that this is something we just have to bring out more and more.
Right, right. And that's why I'm glad that you're going to be in town. Like, your book tour is going to be hitting Toronto, and you're going to be around town for, I think it's the weekend of the 25th to the 28th of March.
That's right.
And Kevin Annett, that's why I'm hoping to be covering that, and we're going to be playing some of your words, and hopefully that, you know, the people out there listening that want to meet you will be able to go out and meet with you.
Could I just mention, Daniel, Saturday the 26th of March, I'm speaking at OISE at 2 p.m. The next day, Sunday the 27th, we're actually holding a rally outside downtown churches. We're going to meet at Metropolitan United Church at Queen and Church Street. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. And then the next day, Monday the 28th, I'll be speaking in Ryerson at 5 p.m. in Oakham House, Room G. So those are all being organized, you know, by lots of supporters in Toronto, including our group in Toronto, Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared. And one of the women I think you're going to have on, Carrie Lester, actually led an occupation of one of the churches and seized the pulpit one Sunday and was dragged off. I mean, she's a very brave woman, so I'm glad that, you know, you're in touch with her.
Nice. Yeah. So we're going to try to have Carrie on the week before just to make sure we promote all these events that weekend that's coming up. And Kevin, Anna, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. And maybe we're going to try to speak with you again, maybe hopefully, you know, before you're in town, or, you know, at least when you're in town, for sure.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on all the time. As a matter of fact, I can do it again next Wednesday if that works for you.
Okay. Yeah, great. That'd be great.
All right.
We'll continue the conversation. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Kevin Annett there, and hopefully we'll get a few more minutes with Kevin Annett next week.